You're listening to the Spirit and Truth podcast. On today's episode, Matt, Emma, and I sit down and have a conversation about prophecy, the gift of prophecy, the prophetic office, and all of the basics, the ins and outs of how to pursue and practice responsibly this gift that is so important to the church. It's a great conversation, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Welcome back to the Spirit and Truth podcast. I'm Maggie Ulmer, and I'm here with
Matt Reynolds,
Emma Winchester.
Yay, we're recording a podcast.
Woohoo!
I know, it's been a minute. We've been releasing talks from some of our conferences.
Yes, we have.
Which has been nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I was excited to sit down and record a new conversation.
Yeah. Amen. All right, so what are we talking about today, Matthew?
Well, we decided we're going to talk about prophecy, actually. This is a gift that's listed in the scriptures repeatedly, and I feel like there's been, in recent years, a renewed interest in the gift of prophecy. It gets a lot of attention, both good and bad, and we just saw some of the bad around the eclipse, maybe. But I think it's an important aspect of New Testament Christianity and really the way that God spoke to his people in the Old Testament as well. And so we wanted to do kind of a prophecy 101 chat and really talk about what is prophecy? How does the gift function in the life of the church? What's the difference between the gift of prophecy and the role of a prophet? There's more, but we'll get into all of that. And in particular, I thought maybe I would just ask you two a bunch of questions because in our team, each of you, Maggie and Emma, really have a calling and a gifting in the prophetic. And so I'm not sure that people know as all the ways that you function in that way just to help shape our ministry and team internally. They certainly see you exercising that gift when we're doing public ministry. But within sort of the scope of Spirit and Truth, we really look to you two to help speak prophetically into the life of the ministry. And so I'm just going to ask you questions and then you can do all the hard work today, which isn't really fair because, just a little side note, tomorrow is Emma's birthday.
Oh my goodness.
It's true.
With this podcast, I think we're releasing it tomorrow.
Yes, we will release it tomorrow night.
So I'm changing the title. This is not Prophecy 101.
Okay.
This is the tribute to Emma Winchester on her 21st birthday podcast.
Whoa.
Too much.
That's a little bit long for the
for the little banner.
But still.
Yeah, but you are turning 21.
In spirit, that's going to be the...
In spirit, the title the of the title. Podcast in spirit.
Well, we can celebrate Jesus
in
this
life.
Podcast.
Okay. Okay, so Maggie, I'll start with you.
Oh, gosh.
Kay. What is prophecy?
Good question. Do you ever know how to answer something when no one's looking and then all of a sudden you're like, "Buh, I don't know." What is prophecy? I mean, the simplest definition that I like to give is prophecy is communication. It's God speak that communicates the heart and will character of God in circumstances. So that's sort of the broadest definition. And that can look like a lot of different things. It can look like instruction, correction to the church, as we see with the Old Testament prophets quite frequently. And it can also look like individual words that sort of give guidance about how God, confirming words about how God is operating in people's lives, and sometimes even a foretelling of sort of, hey, I think you should keep your eyes open for, a door that the Lord might open in this area, whether it's work, school, calling, things like that. And then it can also be, we also see elements of prophecy. Of course, now I'm going to forget the scripture, but the sons of Issachar, is that Chronicles somewhere? The sons of,
I'm unsure about that one.
But the sons of Issachar, you know, they know the times and seasons. Mm-hmm. And so, and they offer strategy and insight to David. And so it might be in Kings, actually. So, yeah. So so prophecy also functions in the realm of having insight, being shrewd, mm-hmm. strategy, things like that. What do you think, Emma?
I think the thing that is most frequently said scripturally about prophecy is the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah.
And obviously that's scriptural, so amen. I think
not
that
gonna argue with
sometimes it's hard though when that is the direct answer given. So I really appreciate you like kind of breaking it down a little bit, because what does it mean for the spirit of prophecy to be the testimony of Jesus? You know, so so could you just speak a little bit like about how instruction, correction, discerning the times and seasons, how do all of those things fit under the testimony of Jesus?
I mean, we know that Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me to do.
Right.
So his life embodies the heart of the Father. And so he is the ultimate prophetic. He's a walking prophetic sign, for lack of a better word. I mean, and he's not a sign, he is God. But all that to say, when we're looking for a standard of prophecy,
It's him.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's how I would explain that, I think.
Yeah. Awesome.
So what I hear you saying, in contrast to some people, when they talk about prophecy, are always referring to sort of telling future events.
Yeah.
And what I hear you saying is really, it's just the act of hearing from the Spirit and then relaying that to God's people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hearing from God's heart and then mm-hmm. delivering that to people.
Yeah, I will. Yes. And so, I mean, if you want to get into the nitty gritty of like how you divide up the categories of what you hear from God, we have things like word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you know, things like that. Those things aren't necessarily prophecy, but they aren't. There's a lot of overlap, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's places where these kind of gifts are listed. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is addressing various gifts within the body. And in fact, at the end of that chapter, encourages us to desire the gifts. Mm-hmm. So they're not something that we need to be afraid of, but we do need to understand and exercise properly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how would you, sometimes I think there's confusion about the gift of prophecy as compared to the role or sort of office of the prophet. Mm-hmm. Could you help us understand the distinction between those things, the difference between the gift of prophecy and the someone who we actually would call they're operating as a prophet in the church?
Well, I think the way that I understand that is on a very practical level, I think, and this goes, in my opinion, for most of the offices, or if not all of the offices, is they are usually people who are in some sort of vocational or leadership ministry. I mean, you don't have to be. It doesn't absolutely have to be, I don't think. I mean, I think that they are, you can see from the scripture itself, they are typically leadership positions, or what we understand to be leadership positions, and they exist for the edifying of and equipping of the church. So mm-hmm. they are people who are meant to be like, hey, this is for you to participate in, to receive and to do yourselves. And so I typically think of the office of a prophet as a facilitating role. Mm-hmm. That person probably is also gifted in the gift of prophecy, but also, they are one who is really, I mean, I'll just speak for myself, and that feels strange to say, but I'll speak for myself and say that in my experience, the people who I would look at and sort of say, yeah, you probably operate out of that office, they have a deep and abiding conviction for the church, mm-hmm. a heart for the church, mm-hmm. and for the church, the bride, to be holy, the bride to be everything she is meant to be. And so they are invested in getting in and participating in the hands-on day-to-day work
within the church, with the people of the church, of equipping them in the gifts of, in the gift of prophecy, i.e. you can speak and hear from God, and that can transform your life in many good ways, you know, things like that. The gift of prophecy is just that. It's the gift of prophecy, which some people, I've heard it taught on different ways, but what it appears to say in scripture is it, the Lord gives it according to how he sees fit. So mm-hmm. it can happen in a moment, or it can be something that you flow in regularly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the office of a prophet and any of the offices, they are God's
offices
given to specific people. Mm-hmm. So I don't get to just decide.
There's that.
I'm taking this. They're gifts that Jesus has given to his bride because mm-hmm. he wants his bride to be equipped and formed and matured in love. Yeah. And so I think that we see that in Ephesians 4. But whereas the gift of prophecy, it's in 1 Corinthians 14 where Paul, you know, he's talking about prophecy in tongues, and he says that, you know, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, yeah. encouragement and consolation. So strength, encouragement and comfort. And so the gift of prophecy, the purpose of it is for strengthening, encouraging, mm-hmm. comforting people. And it, these people don't necessarily have to be in the church, whereas the primary, you know, function of a prophet
is to the church.
Yeah. The primary function of one who has the gift of prophecy could be to the church or to people outside the church. And that's why, you know, Paul is kind of going back and forth between, you know, what's better, the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy. And he says, seek and earnestly seek the gift of prophecy mm-hmm. over tongues, because right. the other people on the outside of the church, they won't understand tongues. But if you have a word of encouragement or comfort mm-hmm. to them and of strengthening, then, you know, how much more effective is that? So I think that I would say that that's kind of a major differentiation.
I think that that's one of the reasons that we spend a lot of time on, I mean, we don't necessarily call it prophetic prayer when we are doing equipping exercises in church, but in some senses, that's what we're doing. We're mm-hmm. practicing prophetic prayer because, you know, truly an encounter with God is so much more effective than any sort of human advice or
yeah,
even just human encouragement
yeah.
that we can give to one another.
Yeah, even when we do the evangelism training that we do with local churches, I often say, you know, 1 minute of cooperating with the Holy Spirit
right. is more effective
than 1,000 minutes of just your own effort, you know? Yeah. And so really when we're talking about, when we're encouraging people to be listening to the Spirit for what they ought to say, we are really sort of encouraging them without using those words to kind of, to ask for words, prophetic words to mm-hmm. give to people. And sometimes we don't use some of those language, even though the word prophecy, prophetic, mm-hmm. these are biblical words. They come with a lot of baggage for people because of various abuses and experiences that they've had. And just in general, I want to just pause just this topic for 1 second and just say, with all of the gifts, I just want to encourage folks that are listening. Some people are like totally on board. Yeah, let's pursue it. We need it. It's good. Others are a little bit more skeptical, and I get that. I just want to say, let's not let the ways that Satan has twisted them or the ways that immature leaders have abused them to rob us of things that God intends for the church to have. It's clear in the New Testament that the gifts of the Spirit are intended for the building up of the body.
Yeah.
And while we want to be cautious to use the gifts in the way God intends, we don't want to be so fearful or skeptical that we miss out on the power that God intends
mm-hmm.
Because it's meant for our good,
mm-hmm.
you know? And sometimes the counterfeits have caused us to miss out on the real thing, you know? But just because there's a counterfeit $100 bill doesn't mean that if I have a real $100 bill, I'm not going to use it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't want to just like, well, I'm never using cash again. You know, like that's not the way you go about life.
Yeah, I would also argue that we don't counterfeit things that aren't real.
That's right. I think that's part of the evidence that these things are real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would also say, you know, you know, having experienced like negative things in terms of prophecy, all of that stuff, that's very valid. And yet we all still have a personal responsibility right. to steward the things that God has given us. And so, you know, like I would just encourage you, all of you who may have negative experiences, all of that stuff, you know, to seek out what is true. To seek out what is right and pure, because you have a personal responsibility to do that. You can't just shy away just because something has happened to you or affected you, but you know, let that be a motivator to pursue Christ that much more, you know.
Well, it's, I mean, I've often thought this was an interesting question because you know, how do you recover from, you know, the wounding of a bad prophetic word? Because I mean, I hope I've never given one, but you know, people do make mistakes, and some mistakes are just mistakes, the kinds of mistakes that we all make, which are incidental and accidental, and they're not intentional. And then other mistakes are made out of irresponsible prophetic practices. And that's why we have protocol, you know, we don't often engage in a lot of explicitly prophetic ministry, like, okay, now we're going to have a time of, you know, when people come up for prayer, we say, okay, you know, if we hear something, then we'll say it. Mm-hmm. But we don't necessarily go out of our way to do that. But when we do talk about it, what are the rules? We say no dates, mates, or babes. That's yep. the...
Yeah, Marion Hayes taught us that.
Yeah, that's right. So we don't give specific dates on when things are going to happen. We don't prophesy marriage. And we don't prophesy children. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I mean, now I've heard things before
sure.
when I'm standing with people. I remember very vividly several years ago praying with a woman and seeing paper wedding bells, like the fold accordion above her head. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to tell her, hey, I think you're going to get married. But sometimes you can just ask the Lord for wisdom and say, what is the responsible way to communicate what you're showing me?
So let's actually get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about what prophecy is and isn't. Let's talk about how to actually exercise that gift.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's just start at the very beginning. If someone wants to learn to sort of walk in the gift of the prophetic, how do you get started? And then give us a little bit of like just practical tips, like of how you go about it personally.
So to start, I would say, I'm going back to 1 Corinthians 14 mm-hmm. because it has shaped me so much. The first verse of that section, it says, pursue love.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Because any gift that is not born out of love or does not lead to love mm-hmm. is not of God.
That's right.
Because all prophecy communicates the heart of God, and we know that God is love. So anything that is not communicated in love or has fruit of love is kind of off the floor. So so to say that is to say, if you are looking to begin practicing the prophetic, make sure your intentions are right. You know, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, search my heart and know me. Try me and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Mm-hmm. Because the purpose of prophecy is to give a word that will have eternal impact.
Yeah.
You know, if our God speak is true, mm-hmm. then it will have eternal fruit.
And it's certainly, I love this because really the word of prophecy has nothing to do with you.
No, nothing.
That's right.
And I feel like some of the times we see abuses, it's like prophecy is used to sort of create a certain view of that person who's delivering it.
And yes, and I think that this goes back to that sort of strange phrase we were talking about, that the spirit of prophecy is Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus is the embodied love of God among us. And so if your goal, if one of those tests I just in my own practice, my head is like, if this is going to lead people away from God or away from Jesus or confuse people about it, or then I'm going to err on the side of very conservative mm-hmm. Communication.
So start with love.
Start with love. Start with asking God to search your heart. And then right after that, so it says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So that tells us that we can earnestly desire that while we're in prayer just by ourselves, we can ask for gifts. And I would start there, you know, not start standing on the street. Lord, give me a word for someone, but start in your own personal prayer time, you know, even maybe for weeks, months. Lord, would you teach me? Would you form me? Yes. You know, like, teach me and form me. What does it mean to be a person who has the gift of prophecy? How do I hold that with honor? How do I steward this well? You know, the posture of our heart in that way is of utmost importance, especially when we're dealing with God's children. So,
yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I did. And I would say, I mean, it was years and years and years ago. And I personally had no thought about any sort of ministry or anything other than in a very sort of non-spiritual kind of practical way in the church that I was attending at the time, which was back when I was 25, 26 years old. We were doing a spiritual gifts assessment test. The entire church did one. And this was, I don't know, churches do this sometimes. And it was something that I scored on, like I scored on, and I was like, what is this? So my husband at the time, who was a lot more sort of biblically sort of knowledgeable about these things than I was talking to him about it, and he said, just earnestly desire. And we read the scripture together, and I was like, okay. And I want to say, like, it's funny because sometimes we have a strange kind of false humility about these things where we're like, oh no, I couldn't ask for a gift. But yes, the Lord wants you to have gifts. It's how we operate in the body together and reveal the glory of God. And
And so even going back to like, you know, being harmed by maybe a like, just because somebody else gave you a bad gift doesn't mean that the Father doesn't still give the good gift of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Who is the one who enables us, empowers us to prophesy. So so just because, you know, a human being has exercised a gift poorly does not mean that the Father has changed at all.
Yeah, not at all. And so I did exactly what you're saying, Emma. That's what I did in the very beginning. I just prayed. I said, Lord, if this is from you, then show me what to do.
You know, I think I want to say, we've said this a little bit already, but I want to say there is a little bit of, I think every believer in any moment, the Lord could give you the gift of prophecy.
Absolutely, yes.
For that moment, like, the Lord can give you any gift he wants to in any moment for what he wants to accomplish in that moment, whether in you or in somebody else. And so, for example, like in my own life, there are times when I do, I feel like I'm receiving a word from the Lord that I either for myself or to share with somebody else. There are also people who walk more consistently in certain gifts. Like, for whatever reason, that's someone who the Lord continues to just move in that way in their life on a regular basis. And both of you are people who move in the gift of prophecy more so than what I do. It doesn't mean that myself or other people can't have the gift of prophecy at any moment.
That's right.
But sometimes people, God has sort of called into a ministry of prophecy. And then even, so that's almost like a middle ground. And then there's an even the further step of someone who's sort of been recognized by others in the body and called out as a prophet, you know? And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, as we're talking about these gifts, there's really a whole spectrum here.
Right, yeah.
And so just because you may not have been labeled a prophet or someone who walks regularly in the gift of prophecy doesn't mean that this doesn't apply to you.
100%. And in fact, if you read, you know, Corinthians 12, when it says in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. I just remember that the Spirit distributes them. It's not about us. Mm-hmm. And that goes for every gift. I mean, the when people say, what is the thing that I can practice? I mean, are there practical things you can practice in terms of, I don't know, accuracy, things like that? Sure, yes. But the greatest thing you can practice is prayer and availability. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, those are the things. If you are like, Lord, I want to be available to you, and then in the rest of your walk, you're like, I'm getting closer to you, Jesus, he'll use you. Mm-hmm. So
one of my favorite things that you say, Maggie, is we all have different functions, but the same value.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so no matter where you are on the spectrum of prophetic ministry, you know, whether you're just beginning or you've been assigned as a prophet to the church for years, I mean, different functions, but same value for Jesus. And in fact, you know, I think it is in that 1 Corinthians 12 where it talks about one body but many members.
That's right.
And so, you know, even with our human eyes, what we look as less desirable or less necessary, you know, he encourages us to treat with greater honor. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a word for all of us as part of the body, is that, you know, we don't look at different functions and treat them with lesser honor. We look at all of them and say, you know, if I have some type of grudge against this, then I'm called to treat them with greater honor. Mm-hmm. So
that's a good word.
Okay, so let's get really practical here. So say, you know, we approach it with love. We kind of like understand the framework that we've been talking about, the gifts and all of it. There's different sort of places or moments or venues that you might receive a word of prophecy. Mm-hmm. Maybe in your own prayer time, just when you're praying at home. Mm-hmm. Could be in a worship service. Mm-hmm. It could be in prayer ministry with someone else, you know, or just in an interaction with somebody else. Mm-hmm. In any of those settings, how do you what does it feel like to receive a word of prophecy? How do you know that something is a word of prophecy that is from the Lord and not just a thought that pops into your head? Just give us a feel of like how you discern, okay, this is a prophetic word that I either need for myself or for somebody else.
Well, one point of maturity for me as I've been growing prophetically is that I don't stand outside of the church. So when I listen to, when I'm praying and I feel like there's something coming, or like I'm starting to realize, oh, I'm thinking about something. And that's usually how it is. I begin prayer just trying to bring my own mind to a place of sort of peace and equilibrium, which is really hard. I wish I did a different thing, but I don't. And then I sort of, you know, sort through the thoughts. And the first thing I do, though, is I apply it to myself. Because I think that one of the ways that, and this talks about this in 1 John, it talks about...
Just to clarify, you're saying if you think you're hearing a word from the Lord...
I apply it personally first.
Then you apply it personally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't stand outside of the church. You know, mm-hmm. And I think that that's a real risk, especially for heavily prophetic people. We're like radar.
Yeah.
You're constantly like
looking outward.
Yes. And the thing is when a irresponsible practice of prophecy happens, when you stop applying things to yourself and you stop sifting your own heart and you stop sort of saying, well, what could the Lord be saying to me?
Yeah.
So, and this is happening to me right now. Like there's something that the Lord has been talking to me for a long time, and I've sort of been viewing it objectively. And just in the last week, I'm like, oh, wait, maybe he's talking to me about me. And then it will go out.
Yeah.
So, but the, so I would say that's the first thing. You just apply it to yourself. Say, Lord, are you talking to me? Are there things? And then you just I go through a process of examination. And I don't invent these things. You know, there are disciplines in the church, like Ignatius has the examine. And so there are a lot of practices that already exist out there. And for me, it is a practice of humility to adopt things that the church has already had in place for many, many generations of believers, because prophecy scares me. I'm just, to be perfectly honest, it scares me, the weight of it, the responsibility of it. And I'm not afraid of it, but I am very aware of not being responsible. Mm-hmm. Because the other thing that a lot of prophetic
it is a big thing to to sort of speak on God's behalf.
Yes, that's no joke.
That is a weighty thing. To even if it's qualified, like, hey, this is what I think I'm hearing. When you're sharing with someone, I believe the Lord of the universe may be saying this to you.
Yeah.
That comes with a lot of responsibility.
That makes me want to get on my face.
I know, yeah. I'm sweating.
Yeah. You know, like, if that doesn't make you immediately, like, get low before the Lord,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's why I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I do think this emphasizes why you just can't be cute about it.
No.
Yeah. Like, some people are like, I feel a little bit cavalier, like, oh yeah, I want to do prophecy. That's awesome. Let's do that. I'm like, let's slow down just a minute here.
Yeah.
To speak on behalf of God.
Yeah.
Look at the prophets in the Old Testament. Not only is that weighty, but it also comes with a cost.
Cost, yeah.
Yeah, it's a gnarly cost. I'm not going to, I mean, there's, yeah. So I would say I just try to actually, I do a lot of what the saints have done before me, and I don't try to come up with anything novel or new. And I do a lot of sifting my own stuff. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I mean, there's a lot of, for me personally, I don't think this is necessarily true for others, but for me personally, I'll just say that as this has been an area of ministry that has grown, the vulnerabilities in which the enemy knows that I have and seeks to attack me I have to work harder and harder and harder to keep them from being inflamed. And
that's for real.
And it is such excruciating work sometimes, because prophets often operate quite a bit out of their sort of their hearts and their minds. And that's where the enemy will attack you. And it is real messy sometimes, you know, to just sit in a room and be like, everything that you're feeling right now is not true. Mm-hmm. And to have the mental fortitude to be like, that's what's real.
Mm-hmm. Emma, how do you discern that something is like a word for the Lord?
Yeah.
The Lord?
Yeah. Can I share like just a little bit of, because I don't necessarily have like a way to do it, but I can only share like how I grew in it. So, So I didn't know that I was quote unquote praying prophetically for probably a year or so until after I was doing it. So me and my friend, we, you know, got together and we were praying very consistently for our church, our pastors, our families, et cetera, et cetera, ourselves even. So, and what we would do is, you know, and this was just out of, we were so naive, we barely knew how to pray. And so we began every prayer with, Lord, teach us to pray. Mm. And so I would say that, honestly, for me, that is how that's how I continue to approach praying prophetically and asking for prophetic insight is, Lord, teach me to pray. Because if it is true that Jesus lives to make intercession on behalf of the saints, then I can partner with his intercession. So Jesus, would you teach me to pray? And how can I align my prayers with yours right now? So that's how we began, you know, Lord, teach us to pray.
Yeah.
And as we would bring certain people to mind, whether it was our pastors, our church, our family, our friends, ourselves, you know, we would sit and we would listen probably for a few minutes just in silence. And what began to happen was we would begin to And normally this came also out of a place of worship. So we yeah. would either read a psalm or sing something or, you know, just posture our hearts in that way in humility. But then we would begin to hear scriptures mm-hmm. or see short images or whatever. And out of that, we would say, thank you, Jesus, like for this insight, whether it's in a scripture or, you know, in a picture. How are you asking us to pray? And oftentimes at the beginning, it was, if I hear a scripture for someone or something, I'm going to pray that scripture. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I align myself with them. And now, whether or not we would view that as, quote unquote, a prophetic word, I was stewarding it within my own prayer closet. So mm-hmm. I think the other reality here is that, like, to have the gift of prophecy doesn't mean to just be doing it publicly.
Yeah.
Prophecy is actually very private too. You know, if I'm continually day by day making intercession mm-hmm. on behalf of other people, Lord, what do you say about this person? What's a reality that they, you know, like, or what's an identity that they aren't living into, but you want them to so mm-hmm. desperately, you know? Yeah. Well, Jesus, let it be so. That type of thing. So I think that's how I began, was just in prayer. Lord, teach me to pray. If I hear a scripture, if I see a picture, if I hear a short word or phrase, thank you, Lord, you know, I'm going to pray into that then.
Mm-hmm. That's good. One of the things I hear from both of you saying, which I think is good just for all the gifts, is that this doesn't have to be so mysterious. It can just be practiced. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, the more times that you practice learning to hear God's voice, the more you're going to have an easier time sort of discerning, you know, when he's speaking. Like, it, you can grow in these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say, I would imagine this goes for all of the gifts too, but I would say in particular for prophecy, because it is a word spoken oriented gift, you should read the Bible. Yeah. I mean, that goes without saying, but like,
yes,
you know, I mean, I have a very strong conviction for the language of faith. And so, like you were saying earlier, Matt, we won't necessarily say prophecy or this or that. But I do think that as we grow and mature as people of faith, it's important to not be afraid of the language that Scripture uses.
Right. Yeah.
And if you understand it in its right context, it becomes less scary.
Yeah.
And if you are a person who feels called or led to, or the Lord uses you that way, then the responsible thing to do is to read Scripture and know Scripture and have it just be part of how your mind is formed and how you communicate in those moments, because it's a lot harder to say wonky things, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, I have at least two more really kind of practical topics that I want to make sure we touch on. Mm-hmm. One is the delivery
yeah.
of a prophetic word. And the second one is the discernment
yeah.
of a prophetic word. So on the first one, how do you know what to say? Like, because I'm imagining, and I'm not just imagining because I've also experienced this gift, that you don't always say everything that you're hearing.
No.
Correct.
And sometimes you just say part of it, or you're summarizing mm-hmm. something, an impression that you're getting from the Lord. How do you make that kind of discernment on what to say, how much to say, and when to say it, and to whom you say it?
Yeah.
Right? Those are all difficult. I mean, those are all questions that take discernment. Mm-hmm. So... Mm. Any help in figuring out the sort of who, what, when,
where, why, how, where,
all
yeah.
of that?
Gosh, I wish there was a formulaic way to answer that question, but I don't know if there is.
I mean, yeah. So I think like what we can speak to is all of those things should be discerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because God is speaking to you about someone doesn't necessarily mean that it immediately requires you to talk.
Mm-hmm.
He could be asking you to intercede, mm-hmm. you know, and this is especially difficult when you're in a worship setting and there is time constraints, mm-hmm. you know, like, what if I never see this person again? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what if I'm in the grocery store and the Lord is talking to me about someone who is walking down the aisle, you know, like, so these are real life circumstances that kind of affect the way that we discern. And I think the question that I ask, I always just ask, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And I have to trust that he is going to, he's not just telling me something just to set me up to fail, you know, but he is telling me something, whether it is to pray or to approach and communicate.
I would also say that, so yes, discern all of those things, and knowing, so having a some very practical frameworks, like, so you're looking for the practical piece. What I would say is that the practical piece is, say, for instance, if you're in the grocery store, just know that you already have a way that you're going to do that. It's going to be quick. It's going to be casual. It's going to be matter of fact, and you're not going to make it weird.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have in your mind already a way that you do that approach. Like, hi, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. You know, this is might be really strange, but I'm a Christian, and sometimes I pray for people that I see. And when I saw you, I heard XYZ, and I just felt like I should share that with you, and I hope that's not strange, you know, or whatever. Or you ask permission. Can I share?
Do you mind if I
share with you?
I love that, because just for the record, Maggie's not talking hypotheticals. For sure, no. She shares stories of doing exactly what she does.
Literally word for word. Yeah. It's a really good prompt. Seriously.
Well, I mean, at some point you just have to own the weirdness.
Yeah.
Like, as I have, the first time I ever did that, I heard myself saying, I hope this isn't weird. In my head, I was like, this is for weird. Sure weird.
Yeah, but so you bring up something really important practically, which is introduction, qualifying what you're about to say. Yeah. So
totally. Don't say, thus saith the Lord.
Yeah. Because, and I think that this leads to the discernment part. Piece. We can talk more about delivery, but this also leads to the discernment part, which is every person who delivers a prophetic word has the responsibility to steward that well. At the same time, every person who receives a prophetic word has the responsibility to steward it. And so there's stewardship on both ends.
Yeah. Yes.
And the person receiving it may not fully understand that.
That's right.
But the deliverer can say, you know, now I'm just offering what I think I'm hearing. You'll have to discern if you think this is from the Lord. You can even coach them into that just a little bit.
Yes. And you can say, you know, no matter what you think about this, just know God really loves you. Yeah. He cares for you, and he sees you.
And it's okay sometimes too, if you see a lot of apprehension, you can give people permission to say, look, you're more than welcome to just be like, no, this isn't for me.
Yeah. So just a couple things, and some of this I'm going to summarize because I know from being around you, but one, you're going to ask a lot of questions internally before anything comes out.
Yeah.
Is this for now? Is this something that's leading me that I'm just supposed to pray about, or am I actually supposed to say it? Is this for me, or is it for somebody else?
Yeah.
And, you know, am I supposed to share this whole thing, or just, you know, share a brief word about it? So the act of asking the Lord questions and then trusting him to give you direction on those questions is sort of that is the only way, I think, probably to discern how to move forward. There's no hard and fast rule, because sometimes the Lord is speaking to you and it's not to deliver in that exact moment.
I think trusting the Holy Spirit to do his work is a really big part of that. Like, there are so many times when I only really just give one sort of chunk of something, and I'm just like, Lord, you know the rest.
Yeah. And, you know, we could talk so much about this piece too, which is God uses specific language to speak to me, and God uses language to speak to another person. So he might show me a picture that is a type of language that I can discern. You know, he'll speak to me the way that I can hear and understand. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that picture immediately applies to that person. So I might be asked to discern the picture for language, and not share the picture with another person, if that makes sense. So there's a whole like arc of discernment in terms of how God speaks to us and how he's asking us to speak to others too.
And believe it or not, it can happen very, very fast.
Yeah. This sounds like a very drawn out process, but it actually is like pretty mm-hmm. pretty quick normally.
So just to give an example, someone like maybe a picture or a memory pops in your mind of your of the past when God showed you mm-hmm. that you were not alone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what he's yeah. he's not necessarily telling you to relay that memory to someone else.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
But what he's maybe is trying to tell you is like this person needs to know that I see them, mm-hmm. that they're not alone. And so you might verbalize those words, not describe the exact picture.
That's,
that
yeah,
you
that's
saw.
A great thanks. For, yeah, that's a yeah, good.
It's really, I would say it's a point of practicing prophecy in love is to make sure that it's about the other person. It's not about your experience of delivering the word, mm-hmm. because so many times, unless you are, you know, look, if I feel like I'm hearing something in prayer for you, Matt, or you, Emma, or whatever, we have an established relationship or whatever, and we can go back and forth and have a conversation and all kinds of things. But if someone's in a prayer line, I just want to make sure they feel loved, they feel seen by God. It can't be about, you know, what kind of word I'm giving.
So I'll give one more kind of practical example of discernment that just happened last week. And this is the one of the ways that this gets lived out in our ministry a lot with Spirit and Truth. We were at a conference, which was not our conference. It was the Global Methodist conference for young leaders. Mm. And this is just a kind of a practical worship setting example. You're looking at me like, what are you about to say?
What are you about to say?
No. And so there was a moment where I was, throughout the weekend, I was doing a lot of the sort of like hosting, emceeing type role of, you know, kind of making transitions and such.
You did very well.
Oh, thank you. And so I was sitting up front and I had done an introduction to the evening and we had started to sing a song. And Maggie all of a sudden came up next to me and started to share, and because we work together all the time and I know how she flows in the prophetic, you know, in these kind of settings, I just really pay close attention to what she's saying because I know that the Lord often speaks through her in this way. And so she said, are you going back up to say anything? And I could hear in her voice, but I hadn't turned yet, that there was a sense of like urgency, because sometimes when you receive a prophetic word, there's kind of like, you feel the intensity of it. So I was like, no.
Sorry.
I was like, as I was saying, like, no, I'm not, I started to turn and look at her, and then I saw her face. And I was like, oh, I guess I am now. You know what I mean? Because it was like, I could see the Lord was really, I mean, to, if it's okay to share, but you were starting to cry.
Yeah.
The Lord was really speaking to you about just, it was a very simple kind of thing, but just the intensity that he wanted to relay through what we were singing mm-hmm. to his people.
I'm the same God.
Yeah, we were singing that song mm-hmm. and you just had this very brief word about like, no, this isn't just a song. We actually have to believe this mm-hmm. if we're going to move forward as a church. And so in that moment, so Maggie was faithful to respond to the prompting that she was feeling. She obviously discerned this wasn't for later, that this was a thing she needed to share with me now. And then now as the receiver of that and the one who was kind of stewarding the worship service, I had to use discernment in mm-hmm. that moment also. And so I then prayed internally, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
Because I could, now, because I trust Maggie and I know her gifts and I work with her a lot, I'm much more likely to pay very close attention to what she says than a random person that I don't know that walks up, you know. Not that I don't listen, because God could be speaking through that person, but I've learned to trust the way that the Spirit speaks through Maggie. So internally then I pray, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? And I felt a conviction, you are supposed to encouraged to be like, you're supposed to say it. Mm-hmm. So now I can't, what she shared was brief and I don't know the exact words that she said. And internally I'm thinking, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, but I felt like the Spirit said, you just need to go up and it'll be fine. Like, just convey the heart of what mm-hmm. Maggie said. So then what I did, I waited for the moment that I discerned was the right moment, sort of as that song was winding down, mm-hmm. made eye contact with the worship leader, walked up and got the microphone. And then a bunch of things came out of my mouth that I'm not sure exactly what was. I know it was fairly intense. What I was saying was pretty, you know, encouraging and whatever, exhorting, I guess, mm-hmm. is the right word. But I was trying to just trust the Spirit to convey that word that he had already spoken to Maggie through that moment. And in fact, what, you know, it did lead to a pretty poignant time of worship where I feel like people then entered into worship in a fuller way, and people then were really crying out to the Lord in a more intense way, and it was really beautiful. And later on, our team, our planning team, was debriefing that I was a part of with other folks that I was just getting to know, and they shared about that moment, and so I was able to talk about how actually it was Maggie using her gift that led us to that moment. So anyways, that's just a practical example because it just happened last week, but it's not always just a one-on-one thing. It's not always just you and your prayer time. Sometimes the Lord wants to speak to us corporately, mm-hmm. and he does in fact use prophets to do that. Mm-hmm. But there's discernment the whole way through.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's never not discernment.
Yeah.
There's like the obvious discernment. Does this align with the word of God?
Yeah.
And that was a case where it's like, I barely had to think about, you don't think about that. It's just intuitively, obviously, yes, like that's true. Mm-hmm. That's what the word is telling us, you know? I am the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You know, like that's obviously true. You know, is this encouraging? Is this like what his people need to hear in this moment? I think yes. So you just, in just a moment, in literally a second, you can do this kind of discernment, mm-hmm. but it takes discernment the whole way through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to share, like, I think it's so true. It's interesting even for me right now to think like step by step, you know, how does this go? Because so often it is within just a short amount of time I don't often think about each question that I ask. It just kind of happens as I cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But I think it's good to kind of give formal handlebars, you know, for people too. So mm-hmm. all of the questions that we've asked so far. And I just want to share one of the tools that Pastor Jordan Wilson gave to me was when you're discerning a word from someone or even the activity of the Holy Spirit, there are four questions that she taught me to ask, and they've been kind of formative that every time I hear something, I don't necessarily go to these questions word for word, but now I have a little bit of a framework to, like, guardrails, you know, mm-hmm. to that the word should fit in. So I'll just name them and you guys can write them down, I guess. So the first one is, does it give glory to Jesus Christ in the present and in the future? So everything that the Holy Spirit does points to Jesus, points Amen. To truth.
Yeah, we know that from John 16. Yeah.
Right. He is the Spirit of truth. He always leads to truth, who is Jesus Christ. So it should give glory to Jesus Christ now and in the future. Mm-hmm. Second, is it consistent with the intentions and character of God as revealed in Scripture? So Matt, you already kind of hinted at this. Does this word or this thing align with Scripture? If yes, continue on. If no, stop.
Hard stop.
Flush it down the toilet. we use that language quite often.
That's good.
Flush it down the toilet. Third, do other people who are filled with the Holy Spirit have a confirming witness? Mm-hmm. So this is important because discernment can be done corporately. Mm-hmm. If I receive a word from some rando off the street and I don't know what to do with it, I can go to other people around mm-hmm. me who are filled with the Holy Spirit and ask, does this sound right?
I'm the rando.
I just love that you said some rando.
Rando on the street. But like, I was just thinking, as you said that too, I was like, I have been the rando in the grocery store.
Oh, me too, for sure. So this is important. Do other people who are filled with the Holy Spirit have a confirming witness? Because the Holy Spirit in me is the same Holy Spirit in you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they should agree.
Work together. Yeah.
And that even fits the example I just shared mm-hmm. that I had a confirmation as I was praying.
Right.
Yes. this is a word that is from the Lord and it's for now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then finally, is there confirmation in objectively verifiable events or facts? Now,
this isn't this is a very interpretation, I think.
Yeah, this is a very wordy question. But the way that this question acts is, does it come to pass? Mm-hmm. So if it is a word that is about the future or about this question is mostly focused on the future, is does it come to pass? And so this is a part of the discernment process that takes time. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we use the phrase kind of putting a word on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And so let's say I received a word about something in my future, in my calling, and it's encouraging. You know, there I can look towards that. I can kind of give it a little bit of weight or value as I discern things moving along in my future. And yet I don't make it the primary thing. Mm-hmm. I don't lift it higher than anything else. I can just put it on the shelf and it can be something that I refer to. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? Someone did say that to me one time about my calling or about how I might operate in the church or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that this goes into a whole other section, which is like, okay, when somebody gives you a word, then how do you steward it and take care of it?
Yeah.
But I would also say that another way of discerning this is, does it bear fruit? Mm-hmm. Right. Because, mm-hmm. because the purpose of all gifts are the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I mean, this is what edification is. Edification is moving, encouraging you to move closer to God. If you do that, you will be sanctified. And so sometimes you can be given a word that is for the future, that it is about something that the sort of the final detail, like if it's about a job or a calling or something like that. But does the hope of that thing bear fruit in you in a way that is positive and that doesn't bring fear, chaos, anxiety? Now look, sometimes we get anxious about stuff and they do come to pass, mm-hmm. you know, we're human beings. But the goal is that the discerning witness here is, does this bring you closer to Jesus? Does this inspire holiness, hope, things like that? So sometimes I use, it's a both and for me, like, mm-hmm. because we also have to partner with words. Like I've been given a word. Somebody told me a while ago, you're going to write a book. Well, that's great. But if I never sit down in front of my laptop and like start writing things down, I won't actually write a book.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we participate in how some of these things come to pass. So,
yep.
Absolutely. Well, this has been like, this has been a really rich conversation,
I think.
It's been
meaty.
And, you know, just a couple little summary thoughts. One, prophecy is good. Let's not be afraid of it.
Amen.
It's biblical. The gifts of the Spirit are still for the church today. And when done with wisdom and in within the biblical framework, are really good gifts and they're meant to build up the body. Mm-hmm. And so let's desire these gifts and walk in them because they really can bear eternal fruit. Anything that you guys want to share as we're wrapping up our Prophecy 101 conversation?
God loves you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God does love you. Personally, I'm very encouraged to see an embracing of all of the gifts.
Yeah.
And in particular, any gift that just illuminates or reveals the fact that God speaks to his children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that truly is the birthright of that identity, is to know God speaks to you. You mm-hmm. have an inheritance in heaven, in the gospel, and all along the way of this life until we are with him in eternity, he's speaking to you every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So
I do think this is a beautiful time right now where the Lord is bringing restoration mm-hmm. to these gifts and actually also to the offices of,
I hope so.
You know, these callings of apostle and prophet, evangelist, pastors and teachers. You know, in our North American context for many, many decades, we've focused almost entirely on pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been certain streams that have continued to sort of emphasize the role of prophets or apostles and things. But I do think there's a more holistic sort of recovery that's happening right now mm-hmm. Beyond just the explicitly sort of charismatic denominations that have been more embracing of the gifts. But like in the Methodist world and in other aspects of the church that are where this stuff has kind of been dormant, I think the Lord is helping to recover this because the church needs it.
Yeah. We need teachers and evangelists and
yeah, mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like another topic for another podcast. So, but this has been our episode for today, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And remember to hit that subscribe button and share this episode with a friend. And good golly, the last Spirit and Truth conference for 2024 is this weekend.
This weekend.
Holy cow. So there are still a few spots left if you want to just get on down here to Dayton. Go over to our website, spiritandtruth.life/conferences, and register, and we'll see you there. Okay. We'll come back to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.